Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. I hope you guys are having a wonderful start of the semester. I can't believe we are already into the second semester of the 2024-2025 year. I hope everyone's classes is going well. It is officially the second day of classes for those of you who have started yesterday. Maybe the first day of classes for you today. I hope that it is going wonderfully for everyone. I hope everyone's winter break went well, and it was a break for you guys. You know, sometimes we get caught up in so much work that we have to use our break to catch up on it, but I really do hope that everyone spent some time throughout the winter holidays and the New Year's just relaxing with some family and friends. Speaking of, Happy New Year, everyone. It is officially 2025, January 7th today. New Year means New Year resolutions. I'm not sure what everyone's resolutions are or hopes or goals, but I hope that by the end of the year, we can all proudly say that we have accomplished, but if not, at least tried our hardest to do so. As you can tell, since this is a radio show, many of you guys can only hear my voice. I actually got a cold a couple weeks ago, hence the little bit of the croakiness in my voice. But, you know, I also want to say, please be careful, everyone. Right now is the season to get a cold. It's the weather's getting cold, wind, you know. So please be careful and be healthy and stay safe. For today's episode, I'm actually going to be doing a solo rom-com review I actually watched during the break called The Hollers. It's more leaning towards the genre of drama, but there's also definitely some romance in it, which I will cover as well. After I do that, I have some songs that I've prepared for you all, and we will end off on that note. I haven't been in the station for about 2 weeks as the building was closed, so it's great to be back and starting off a show again in person. I love doing these shows, and I hope you guys enjoy listening to them as well. I will also be bringing back some interviews as well, some more movie reviews throughout the semester. I'm very excited to begin my radio show again after the break. It is also officially my last semester at UBC. It's very a weird, bizarre feeling, honestly. I think most of the semesters I've started off, I felt quite anxious, a little bit nervous, obviously excited. But this semester, I think the excitement and the kind of not nervousness, but more of like a, it's not a sad feeling or a gloomy feeling, but it's a very weird emotion that goes through me as I can't believe that it's already my final semester at UBC. I can still remember, you know, basically starting off my university years at CITR, starting my show, you know, bringing in my first guests, you know, we're just talking about movies. Now I'm over 100 episodes in. I'm in my final year at UBC. You know, school is going great. My courses are amazing. I've met so many great people. The CITR community has been amazing. I think it's just been such a great experience that time flew so fast, and I just can't grasp, that's coming to an end. So, yeah, I mean, why don't we just get on with the show, and hopefully everyone can tune in, start off this semester strong with a positive mindset, and hopefully we can end it off on a strong note as well. So why don't we get through some ads, some PSAs, and the show promo and begin the show. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Here we go.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Anthas Gakhuya,
Talib Tim, Homasque Mustayo. Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something.
Events.
Personal essays.
Anything.
Submit to Discorder magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
Vancouver's Community Bike Network invites you to Bike House, a house party themed night dedicated to supporting women, trans, and queer access nights. Access nights happen weekly in Vancouver's community bike shops, Kickstand, Our Community Bikes, and The Bike Kitchen, and hope to create safer spaces for women and LGBTQIA2S+ folks to learn bike mechanics, build confidence, and find community. There'll be DJs, dance, and drag. It doesn't matter if you haven't ridden your bike since you were five. If you want to party with us, we want to party with you at the Birdhouse Art Space. Find tickets at Bike Kitchen UBC on Instagram, or look up Bike House at the Birdhouse on Eventbrite.
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be smitten, but I'm a fiend for the troublesome boy who's driving me wild. Keeping me on the tip of my tongue.
We stand for peace. We stand for justice for the people of Palestine and for the upholding of international law.
On November 30th, join Irish for Palestine, BC, for a night of crack agus ciol, including trivia, music, dancing, and fundraising for an important cause. All funds raised will be donated to Medical Aid for Palestinians, a long-standing charitable organization responding to the humanitarian emergency in Gaza and Lebanon by providing on-the-ground medical supplies and complex care to children and families impacted by violence. Tickets are $15, and the event will be held in the function room of Foy's Irish Bar. To find out more, visit at Irish for Palestine BC on Instagram. That's at Irish for Palestine BC with a numerical 4. Saoirse don Phalastine.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leaning with Jeff. For today's episode, I will be doing a rom-com drama movie that I watched during the break, and then ending off with some songs that I have prepared for you all. For today's episode, it's going to be just a rerun of what kind of movie I've been watching throughout the break, and going through some of the main themes and ideas that I caught up within the movie. Before we get started, I also want to say that our third main event of CITR on Discorder is going to be held soon, called the Fun Drive event. It is our annual fundraising event where we hold up a lot of different fun activities. I believe we have some prizes as well. It's a time where you can donate as well for a fundraising event. It's going to be great. It's still in the process of being created and arranged with all the dates. So please stay tuned. It will be up soon. The trainings and the tours for CITR and Discorder will also be scheduled as well. So for those of you who want to be involved with CITR and Discorder, please stay out for those dates as well. So why don't we get into the movie that I've chose that I chose for today. It is called The Hollers. It is a comedy, romance, drama movie that delves into the complexities of family relationships, personal growth, and facing very difficult challenges within their lives. It is directed by John Krasinski and is actually starred by John Krasinski. He is actually the main protagonist in the movie, where he plays John Holler. And it really is a heartfelt movie where there's definitely a climax to it. There's a very identifiable issue and problem that is kind of revolved around the whole story plot, but there isn't really a clear solution, and it doesn't seem like the film is trying to create one as well. And I think that makes the movie so realistic and really heartfelt, at least for me as an audience member, because sometimes, you know, all issues don't get resolved, and it doesn't need to be resolved in a specific time frame. You know, a lot of movies have that plot line and that structure where when an issue arises, there's going to be a solution, or at least there's that whole process of trying to find a solution. And when you end up finding it, it ends up being the perfect solution. And that's how the movie ends, with a very kind of step-by-step process structure. But in this movie, it's very unique in the way that it's very in the middle of whether it's a plot-driven film or if it's just kind of a film of like a specific scene or a portion of somebody's life. So it follows John Holler's life, or his kind of perspective, where he's a struggling graphic novelist in New York. He left his hometown to pursue this career. It actually doesn't seem like it's working well for him. But he ends up returning back to his hometown to see his mother, Sally, who is unfortunately diagnosed with a brain tumor. As this experience arises within the family, it forces everyone to just gather together and support Sally through her illness, and trying to figure out a way where they can find a cure and hopefully get her to full recovery. However, this is when the movie becomes very, very dramatic in a sense, where all the issues start to come falling down at once. So first it was Sally's illness. Her diagnosis is very, very tragic. It actually ends up being in a very unfortunate position, as the tumor has grown quite a bit. Yet, the good news is it is surgically removable. So, you know, there's some good news there, but, you know, obviously that doesn't make the situation less heavy for everyone in the family. Then we go on to see John's girlfriend, Rebecca, who is played by Anna Kendrick. She's pregnant with her first child, which adds on to the anxieties and the worries about the future of both of them. You know, John's not in a very good place with his career. Rebecca is actually, she comes from a very wealthy family, but, you know, she has her own career going on as well. But they're not in a very stable position, per se. And John, you know, he feels an immense amount of pressure to hold up, you know, an expectation for, you know, a family he's about to have. And then we go on to see John's brother, Ron, who grapples with his divorce and the separation from his children, which we can easily see is a very painful experience for him. And so, you know, John's brother, Ron, he is grappling with his own, you know, issues with his relationship. He misses his kids and wants to spend time with them, but, you know, the divorce that, you know, they went through complicates everything, and a whole nother level of just complications and problems on his end. Then we move on to the father of John and Ron, who is Don. who faces obviously the potential loss of his wife, and also the fact that his plumbing business is actually going bankrupt. It is a very, very difficult thing to accept for Don, as it's a business where he put his blood, sweat, and tears and decades into building. Yet, you know, it didn't work out very well. He's soon going to be faced with bankruptcy. He doesn't know what to do. And on top of that, his wife is about to pass away. So all these issues are just jam-packed into one movie and into one situation. You know, just the moment when we thought nothing could get worse, it does get very, very worse. So the themes and lessons that I've gathered from the movie, first I can begin with, is family bonds and reconciliation. So the film greatly emphasizes the strength of family ties, despite the aspect of how everyone is bringing a new issue to the table. The Hollers' dynamics of how they interact with each other, how they're dealing with all this, all these challenges that are given to them, really underscores the idea that family can be both a source of frustration and a wellspring of support during these difficult times. For example, there's a scene where John Krasinski, John Holler, is really, really in a tough space with his career as a graphic novelist. And he speaks with his mother about it in the hospital. He actually brings a tub of ice cream and pretzels, which are his mother's favorite type of food. They share it. They share that moment with each other, kind of giving each other a break of, you know, their own issues. And through that, you can kind of see that moment alone is really giving them a chance to breathe a little bit and just regather their thoughts and emotions to kind of go through this hardship that they're given. And so these scenes really just stood out to me because it's really nothing fancy. It's not that they're, you know, he's planning like this big vacation, or he's, you know, buying like this really materialistic thing that his mother wanted. It's more so quite mundane, you know, like I said, just a tub of ice cream and some pretzels. And, you know, you can kind of see how that just brings back the memories that they had when they were young, or, you know, just those small details that everyone has. And the fact that John remembers that and just buys that and acts upon it really shows that deep connection that they have for each other. And so the next theme is the facing of life's transitions. So there's a lot of stages that this movie explores. It explores the themes of illness and mortality, then the impending parenthood, obviously the career struggles, and the divorce and its aftermath with Ron. So these transitions serve as catalysts for the characters to grow, to show their growth, and give them a chance for self-reflection, which is quite evident with Ron. He's actually John's brother. He's the one who's going through the divorce. He is the one who initiated the divorce. It doesn't seem like he's regretting the divorce for the fact that he wants to have his wife back. At least that's what I got from the film. He just misses the fact that he, you know, he can't see his kids whenever he wants. And so through that, you know, he takes some extreme measures. You know, this is a comedy movie, so he ends up breaking into his wife's home, where she actually has a new husband, or I don't know if it's a boyfriend, but he breaks in, ends up spending the night with his daughters in their rooms. He ends up getting arrested the next morning. It's very, very chaotic. And through those measures, it shows the desperation that he has with how much he loves his kids and how much he wants to spend time with them. But those extreme measures kind of shows how Ron is just dealing with this difficult situation and how it's leading to these poor decisions. And so through this, we kind of see him change throughout the film. And what's actually funny is Ron really does not like his ex-wife's new partner. But he's actually the one that ends up changing him and really giving him the chance to see his kids. Right before Ron gets arrested, he's actually put into the police car. And Ron's ex-wife's partner, he actually gets him out of the car and says, let's just go get a coffee and just talk about it. And he's actually a priest, or he works in the church. I think he is a pastor, I think. And so Ron just jokes about it and says, you're not going to talk about God, are you? Or something along the lines like that. And they laugh it off. And the end of the film, he actually helps him meet his kids again. And it really does come to a beautiful ending on his part. The next theme that I want to touch upon is the power of communication. Communication is greatly, greatly emphasized in the film, and the importance of it and the importance of open communication within the family really plays a huge role in not only dealing with the situation, but actually acting as a solution for, you know, getting through these tough times. So initially, the Holler men struggle with expressing their feelings and concerns, leading to a lot of misunderstandings and resentment as well. But as they learn to communicate more effectively, which is actually forced out of them because of how tough the situation is getting, it's almost like the communication is the consequence of the constant pressure and the hardships that they each go through. And that ends up just forcing like this brutal, you know, almost like an inappropriate conversation that goes on back and forth. But, you know, it ends up getting polished, and, you know, the respectful aspect of it comes within them, and they all end up communicating in a very respectful and delightful manner. So they end up doing that, and they resolve their issues within the relationships. They end up realizing that the issues that they have are quite deeper than they think they are. For example, Ron and John, they had a very, very big misunderstanding of each other. Ron thought that John just left with selfish reasons. But John, on the other hand, kind of left for... It is in a way selfish, but selfish is a very strong word to characterize his decision. He just wanted to... He believed that his career would go in the right path, and the path that he anticipated it would go if he left town. And it seems like Ron felt and viewed that decision as a form of betrayal, which is not the case. And so that aspect of their relationship gets a little resolved throughout the movie as well. And like I said, a lot of these issues that they encounter are not fully resolved. It's almost brought up to the table where you can recognize the issue, but it doesn't seem like they were trying to forcefully just fix it altogether, because realistically, these are issues that were on the table in the relationship for years and years in the movie. And I guess realistically speaking, you know, those issues, they're quite tough to solve in just one meetup. So it's a very beautiful thing to see how that step-by-step process of trying to repair the relationship is being done through the idea of the practice of communication. So the next last thing that I want to talk about is embracing imperfection. And I think this is a very, very central theme throughout the film, is the idea of striving for perfection and wanting that, specifically through the character of John. It seems like John really wanted to have this amazing career with his graphics and his stories, but it didn't work out for him. And you can clearly tell that motivation and that drive and that ambition that he had when he first started his career is gone. It's non-existent. And therefore, he is very low in energy. It doesn't seem like he's enjoying anything. He's not really enjoying the craft that he's participating in. We see a scene where he's just sitting in the office. And you can kind of see in his eyes that he just doesn't want to be there anymore. And so that situation that he's given of not being able to live up to that, whatever that perfective life that he drew for himself is giving him an opportunity to either rise up and try again or persevere through that experience or just give up. And I'd say that he was on the verge of giving up as well. You know, it was very tough for him. But through his experience with his mother, it seems like he's able to get back on his feet. And, you know, a baby's coming in the way. So definitely it has given him a chance to look back on his choices and try and you know, dust his knees and just give it another shot. Whether it's the career of graphics or not, you know, that's quite ambiguous as well. I don't really know, and the film doesn't really clearly, explicitly state whether he stays in that industry, but what we do know is he will keep moving forward. You know, the scene ends off with his wife or his girlfriend rushing to the hospital to give birth, and it seems like he's just, you know, going with it. He's moving forward, and which is the most important thing. You know, whatever happens, I think through these hardships that, you know, these characters go through, the key thing for anything to just go about is you have to keep moving forward and you have to keep going. Or else you're just going to get stuck, you know, like how you can see with John's character in the beginning of the film, whether, you know, it's through his work life or the way that he interacts with his girlfriend. It's quite evident. And so I think it's a very beautiful movie where we can kind of see how these characters deal with these hardships within their lives and how overwhelming it can get and how unpredictable and just the chance of getting worse is actually a chance as well. You know, there is no limit to all these issues. It just keeps piling up. And so you need to learn how to accept it and move forward through those, which is, you know, whether it's, you know, really on a step-by-step process. You know, I feel like in the movie, the characters also give a very important message of you shouldn't try and fix everything in a perfect manner, or at least in a way that you will be fully satisfied. I think the most key point here is you just have to do something. You just have to keep going. You just have to keep believing that it'll work out. You know, just hold on to that hope and keep finding ways to just persevere through this. Because at the end, I do believe in that saying that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I think, although we don't see that too much in the film, we can kind of anticipate it as we can kind of see the start of the issues getting resolved throughout the film. I do recommend this film to many of you guys. There's a lot of comedy in it because obviously there's a lot of dark things that goes on within this film as well. But, you know, the comedy does a really great job in learning how to see the light and the happiness within these situations. And it gives you a chance to give you a little chuckle and move forward into those struggles. So, yeah, if you guys like to watch comedies, dramas, I highly recommend this movie. The mother who unfortunately passes away at the end, she's a very, very strong woman. And we can see that even till the end, she is just so strong and she has such a great sense of humor. And, you know, I think the film does a really great job in just crushing that negative connotation that death, the idea of death has. And that, you know, it's just a part of life. And I think that death is really what makes living so beautiful. So, yeah, I hope you guys watch that movie if you guys have the chance. But obviously, it is going to be a very busy time of the year. But it's also a very beneficial movie to just relax and view. All right, so that's it for today's movie review. For the next couple of minutes of the show, I'm going to be sharing you guys a couple songs that I've prepared for you all from the band called Controller. They're a band that primarily focuses on rock music. It's quite exciting. There's a lot of strong beats within them. I think many of you guys will enjoy these songs. It will give you kind of upbeat energy, I guess, for this afternoon. They are a Canadian indie rock band from Toronto. So they are Canadian. But yeah, today I'm going to be looking at the album X Amounts. The first song that I have prepared for you all is called Tigers Not Daughters. So I hope you guys enjoy this song. Here we go. That was Tigers Not Daughters by the Controller. This is from the band Controller. The album X Amounts. The next song I have for you guys is called PF. I hope you guys enjoy this as well. That was PF by Controller Controller. The next song I have for you guys is called Poison Safe. I hope you guys enjoy. That was Poison Safe by Controller Controller. The last song I have for you guys is called Rooms. I hope you guys enjoy this last song. Here we go. That was Rooms by Controller Controller. That is it for today's episode. I hope you guys had a great time listening. The movie that I reviewed today is called The Hollers. If you guys have a chance, please go ahead and watch it. Like I said, it is the beginning of the semester. I hope everyone's semester is starting off well. It is a bit gloomy outside, but it seems like we're going to see some more sun later in the week. So please stay excited for that. I will see you all next week, everyone. Have a safe and healthy week. I'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.